Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears Podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Herb Howard from the Bigs is in the building.
Mama, I made it.
Long time coming. Long time coming. We have been needing the Herb opinion on this podcast, man. I appreciate you coming through.
What's that, man? Thanks for having me, bro.
Always. We got a lot to get into on today's episode. Mark Carmen dropping the tweet that has been heard around the Bears Stadium, basically. It might still be some hope for Arlington.
Yeah.
And I saw you retweet with a little bit of excitement on the Kevin Warren situation. So got to talk about that. Also, just some general Bears talk. We haven't had Herb on here, so want to get his opinions and thoughts on expectations for this upcoming season. All that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. My guy, everything been good? How you been, man?
Everything is smooth, man. Enjoying this little bit of a downtime we get between, you know, end of mini camp and training camp. So, you know, just taking it easy, man, hanging with the fam.
That's really like, it's so funny. Like, the daily grind of doing a show is just like, all right, what are we going to talk about today? What PFF list is it? And then, like, at the end of the day, it's like, I can't wait to get just the training camp, just to talk about something that's legit.
You know, the NFL calendar has become this 12-month thing, right? It used to be like football season, and then the draft would happen. And now it's this 12-month thing where you got, you know, the firing and hiring of head coaches and GMs. You got, you know, scouting period and free agency and the draft and combat, like all of it. So it's just this never-ending process. And so there's a couple times where there's a little bit of a break, and they'd be like, well, what do you talk about now?
That's really what it is right now. It's like, all right, what are we going to talk about? We got the CBS 100 list. Who was snubbed? I asked Lance yesterday. We had Lance Briggs on. I asked him yesterday. I was like, do y'all care? He was like, you only really like your teammates will joke with you about who's above you in the locker room. Outside of that, like, you don't care. Keenan Allen was snubbed, though. I care. As a fan, I care. You put him on the list. But no, listen, we got a lot to get into. Let's jump into it. The Mark Carmen tweet heard round the world, basically saying yesterday that the Chicago Bears are somewhat back in on the Arlington Heights situation. A pair of tweets with an update today said yesterday the Bears have made progress in their discussions with Arlington Heights and the school district board for their stadium deal. The belief is that Kevin Warren's timeline to get the deal done remains aggressive. He updated this today saying the Bears continue to work towards a resolution regarding property taxes with school board and Arlington Heights on the land they own. Arlington Heights remains hopeful the Bears will build their new stadium there. The Bears maintain their stadium focus remains on the museum campus in Chicago. So, Herb, I ask you, my guy, is Kevin Warren playing this perfectly, or is this maybe a little bit of a – he thought Minnesota and Minneapolis worked well together, and he thought Illinois and Chicago play the same way together, when realistically – this might not even have nothing to do with the Bears. This could go to some boat that was vetoed 10 years ago. And he was like, I told y'all I was going to get you back. You know what I mean?
Politics in Chicago is a whole different game. This is a whole different country. All the bureaucracy and all of the politics and backdoor.
Yeah.
This is a different game. But I also think it was just it's a different situation just geographically in terms of where the stadium is. The Minnesota Vikings Stadium, US Bank, is my favorite stadium in the league. I haven't been to all of them. I've been to almost all of them, but that's my favorite one in terms of the sight lines, the sound, the natural light, all of the acoustic. It's a great place to go watch a football game. And so I'm glad that Kevin Warren is here having overseen that project to oversee this one. But the difference is that one is kind of in the middle. You can get to all four sides of it, right? It's not next to a lake. Right. I don't care what they do on the museum campus. Unless you move in Lake Michigan, it's going to be a nightmare getting in and out of there.
Start boating mugs in.
There you go.
Start boating mugs in. That's what I said.
It just is what it is. But I think that I've always been of the opinion that Kevin Warren was brought into a bad situation. He was just dealt a bad hand. The Bears did not put him in an advantageous situation. They hired him after they bought the land.
Yeah.
But before y'all had agreed to the taxes. And if I'm Arlington Heights, you didn't bought the land. You didn't already drop the bread, fam. You didn't just spend $200 million to
you
sit
here on, already.
Not
here
out, already. Right. So I don't have any reason to negotiate with you on the taxes. These are the taxes. You lost all your leverage by purchasing the land before you did that. And then you're like, hey, Kevin Warren, go close the deal. He's like, all right, cool. Wait, we don't have a tax agreement yet?
Yeah.
That's insane. So everything he's done since then was just to kind of garner more leverage. That's been my opinion of it. He went around the whole world tour. We can go here. We can go there. We can go here. We can go there. Even talking about going to Northwest Indiana, and then you land
when we made it to Waukegan, I was like, we know where this goes.
Yeah. Then you land on, okay, we put it right here in downtown. And I do think that Kevin Warren loves downtown. I've talked to him. I've had dinners with him. I think he loves downtown. He lives downtown. I think he's sincere about that. But I think all of this has just been about leverage, trying to regain some leverage in the negotiations with Arlington Heights. And I think he's played it as good as he can play. It was a bad hand, but he's played it as well as you can play it. And I think that finally Arlington Heights is like, all right, we got to do something too, right? So they move a little bit. The Bears move a little bit. Ultimately, I think they'll settle on something, and the Bears will be playing football in Arlington Heights.
It's funny because that's kind of what the framing of a good business deal would be, right? Where both sides feel like, we kind of got screwed a little bit on this one. That's the goal of getting a good business deal done. Of course, both sides want to gain the leverage. I agree with what you said about, you know, trying to gain leverage by going to the city of Chicago, but it does seem like there was a real – I mean, I don't think that you put together a –
Oh, that's exactly what you do.
That project.
That whole Dr. Pony show? Yeah, that's all that was.
Really?
Come on,
you
bro.
Think you go all the way in on that with all of that?
How else are they going to do it? Yeah. They got to – like, it has to seem real. I would even go as far as to say probably only Kevin Warren, the McCaskies, and maybe Ryan Poles knows we taking our butts to Arlington Heights because we already bought the land.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they told everybody else in the organization should full focus to getting the stadium down there. And I think you hear that, you see that, you talk to different people in the organization, they sell it, they believe it.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But at the end of the day, I think that, one, Kevin Warren's doing his due diligence, which is dope. But I think ultimately what he's doing is trying to gain some leverage in those negotiations. Y'all already bought the land, bro. The Bears are not, they're not property. They're not in the real estate business.
Right.
So they're not finna just try to buy that and flip it. Like, y'all bought it. Y'all didn't do it right because y'all the Bears, and sometimes y'all don't do stuff right.
Right. This was pre-Kevin Warren.
Yeah, so and then he comes in and he's like, okay, fix this for us. And so I think he's done the very best job he can to go about fixing it.
I think it's so interesting when you lay out everything that happens and when you look at how the Bears have gone through this process.
They brought a preacher to that dog.
Hey, bro, that mess was wild. It's
insane.
Bro.
I'm sitting there like,
bro.
Wait, what are we doing?
I thought I was the only one that was, I know like Lawrence Holmes went on a rant about it. Like, but I was just sitting there, I was like, what are we? Like, that's why I was like, I think he's really all in on this. Like, I do think that there is a part of Kevin Warren that believes that if I can get something done downtown,
sure,
I will get something done downtown. I really do believe that he wants to get something done downtown. The part for us that are from here, that have been here, that know it. But my two things are, one, you're never shutting down LSD.
No.
So how are you going to build a road to get there?
No.
And number two, where is people gonna park? You didn't add anything, and the stadium that you showed us,
the renderings didn't have parking.
The renderings didn't have parking, and the stadium you showed us was a. I think this might be, dare I say, the politics might work in our favor because I do believe he would get a stadium done if he could downtown. But the stadium they want to build was what 65,000 seating.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to get a Super Bowl.
Right.
The minimum seating for a Super Bowl is 70,000. And I'm sorry, you can sit there and say, well, we have the additional, we can put y'all over here and you can sit here and you can, that adds 5,000 seats. It's February in Chicago.
Yeah.
You're not adding 5,000 to 6,000 seats outside. So like, I think that in all honesty, he wants to build it, but the politics might actually save him from making a mistake by trying to put it down here.
I think ideally he would love to have a stadium in downtown.
Of course, you know the money that's going to come.
U.S. Bank is in downtown Minneapolis. I think he would love to have it.
Yeah,
but I also think he knows that the land is already purchased out there.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool to have a clean slate of land. Y'all can build whatever y'all want. Y'all can build this whole dream stadium. I think it's going to be phenomenal if and when it gets done. But like, what you want and what you can do is not always the same thing.
Yeah.
You can want to put a stadium in downtown Chicago all you want. We got land at Arlington Heights, and we ain't wasting that bread. So do whatever you got to do to close this deal. And I think that's what he's gone about the business of doing. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I think he's a politician in his own right. I think he's very well spoken. He's driven. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's all just about creating, building some leverage. And I think that whole thing, they had politicians out there, referees. Like, when he started praying,
you were in the building, bro. I wasn't in the building.
It was my natural instinct to be like, okay, let me bow my head and pray. And then I'm as I'm saying, hearing this in my ear, I'm like, wait, what are we talking about? We bothering God with this? Nah, we need a stadium. And then he threw in a Caleb Williams because it was that draft. Oh, and can make Caleb Williams and get us some good players. I'm like, hey, stop playing in God's face, bro. We don't got time.
Bro, my thing was, Ray, I was sitting there looking at it and I was just like, did the reverend just drop the draft plan? Is that what we seeing right now? Like,
that was nuts.
Did the reverend just drop? And what we doing in the second round, Rev? You seem to be talking to God. That was. Here's the tough part about this. Does going to Arlington Heights, of course, how it can be spun can always be in a positive way.
Sure.
But does going to Arlington Heights after doing all of the horse and pony show that you did, is that a bad look on the Bears organization?
I don't think so. I think that they put him in a bad situation. And I think that he's found really the only route to come back around to
it.
Do you lose a little bit of cachet? Maybe. Do you lose a little bit of, you know, political capital, or, you know, do some of your favorables drop a little bit? Maybe, because you told everybody, oh, we want to put it here. We're going to put it here. Cool. That's what I have to do. That's my job, right? It's Ryan Poles lied to us all the time. Flutes lie to us all the time. It's part of their job. His job is to be the president of the Bears, get the Bears the best deal they can for the land that they bought so they can get this stadium built. If I got to lie to y'all a little bit, But, I mean, it's just a little lie. I do want a stadium here, but it ain't coming, though.
The mindset of, if I got to lie to y'all a little bit after the reverend prays is nuts.
In Jesus' name. Go in peace.
Well, the one thing that I will say about Kevin Warren, no matter what, is it does feel like
I love Kevin Warren.
Warren. It feels like there is a real leadership that the Chicago Bears have not had. You've been covering the Bears for a few years up there. You've seen the ups and downs of this franchise firsthand. What is it? Does it feel like this is finally the right mix of, okay, we've got the perfect group to turn this into, I'm not even going to say a Super Bowl level franchise, a competent franchise for 2024, because that's the problem that we've had. Right. We've had a team for years that it's just like, bro, it's not 1985. Why are y'all doing it like this?
Yeah. No, I think they got a really good team in place. I think they got a good operation going. I think that the McCaskies are, they've pretty much always been self-aware that they aren't football people. Like George always said.
George
that.
Said it.
You know what I mean? But you got Kevin Warren in place now. You got Ryan Poles there. I think they do a good job of working together and collaborating. I think both of them are very competent at their job. The only question left in terms of their leadership, quite frankly, is Flus, right? Is Coach Eberflus a good coach or not? We don't know that.
We don't know that. The beard and the fade makes people believe, though.
I mean,
I'm telling you,
he's a more handsome man this year, but I don't know that he's a better football coach or not. You know,
his swag is different, though. I will say that. Yeah. He walking like he got a fresh cut two days ago.
You know what I mean? You know what a fresh cut do?
Hey, he moving different.
You know how you walk out the barbershop like, hey, don't speak to me. You're not worthy. You know what I mean?
What's that one you did with Buddy? He called his girl. He's like, baby, I'll be home in 10 minutes. Let me know if you need anything. Right. Like, let me listen back to that. I'm in the streets. I ain't coming home to you and them kids.
Nah, you got all kind of errands to run when you got a friend. Right. You know what I mean? Stop by Target or something. I think that's the only really, really question that remains. And I don't mean that as a knock on Flus. We just don't know yet, right?
He could be.
And I think this year is going to tell us a lot. I think he did a really good job of navigating some tumultuous waters last year with the two assistant coaches and the injuries and all of the other stuff that was going on. I thought he did a pretty good job helping them kind of get that thing back on track in the second half of the season. When he took over defensive play calling, the defense took another step. Obviously, Montez Sweat helped with that, but I thought Flus was just as much responsible as Montez was. And so a lot of good things about Flus, but, you know, we don't know yet. That's the only question I have. I'm confident in Kevin Warren. I'm confident in Ryan Poles. I'm hopeful about Flus,
right?
But I can't say for sure, like, oh yeah, he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. We don't know that yet.
No, I'm here with you. Listen, I think, like, my problem last season was it felt like we didn't learn from our mistakes,
right?
And it felt like our head coach didn't learn from his mistakes. I mean, we had the same problem in week what week did we play Detroit? Week 11, 12, yeah. Something like that, that we had in week four
against
Denver. Versus Denver, right? Like that's a problem. That's a long time, and you're sitting there making similar coaching mistakes, right? We saw that kind of pop its head up a little bit again in that Cleveland game. Like my thing is Flew's going to learn from his mistakes.
You didn't like the Justin Jones in man coverage? I mean, John Covers dropping back into
Here's my favorite stat from last year. From last year. And I want to say back-to-back was Cleveland and the Packers. That was back-to-back weeks, right?
I think so.
In back-to-back weeks, Justin Jones dropped back into coverage twice. Guess how many touchdowns were scored?
Two.
Why are we doing this, dog? Like it is. And we had some people that were like, well, there are defenses that run that and call for it, and you got to defend cool. it. But you got to know, right? Like, I just saw this not work. It's probably not going to work if I call this play again. And he hasn't gotten to that point yet. So I have massive questions on Flus. A fade and a beard don't change the fact that as we went into the offseason, I said, we probably need to fire him and look at Mike Vrabel or Bill Belichick or whoever some of the bigger name coaches were that were out there. Because there was a lot of coaches that were on the market this year.
Yeah, there were a lot of coaches on the market. I was a little surprised they didn't explore those, but not really. I thought that he had done enough in the back half of the season to save his job. I said that, you know, week 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there. I was like, no, I think he's done enough to secure another year. Now this year.
The players love him. The defensive players love him.
Yeah, that's cool. I think everybody liked Nagy. Like, man, Nagy was super cool dude.
Yeah.
Liked him a lot, but I don't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China, sir. Get out. You know what I mean?
It's not a bad take.
I think
Mitch probably didn't like him.
Yeah.
Man. Justin definitely didn't like him. I don't know if everybody liked Nagy, bro. I feel like there was some disdain at the end there.
Well, yeah. I mean, Justin didn't like him because he tried to kill him in Cleveland. Like, you tried to get me murdered. So I don't like you for sure. It's not a popularity contest, right?
Yeah.
People didn't like Bill Belichick. You know what I'm saying? But they won 7 rings. So whatever. Or 6 rings. So like, I think that at the end of the day, it's just about winning games. And if you can win games, people will follow you. That's it. We don't have to be friends for real. Like, that don't have to, it'll be cool if we are, but it don't have to be that way. We here to win football games. So I think this year the Bears have a team that should win football games. And if they don't, then I don't think Flus will be here in 25. But I do think he deserved the opportunity to come back this year. Now, week 4, Denver, I wouldn't have been surprised at all if he walked into that press conference and Ryan Poles came around the corner and not Flus. Like, nah, buddy, he out of here. He won't be here no more.
I mean, you still,
that was ridiculous.
How many losses in a row? 14 straight losses, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Like, those are still – and I get it. I understand you're going through the plan. Here's what Flus feels like to me, right? To make a Chicago fan analogy, it feels like Zach LaVine. You stuck with us through the ugly times. We're going to support you. We're going to allow you to go out there and try and show us something better during times where it should be better. Sure. You got DeMar DeRozan. You got Nikola Vucevic. You got Lonzo Ball. Go out there and show us that you can be better with all of those guys. That's how Flus feels to me. Hey, you know what? We're going to give you the best coach. Not one coach on the coaching staff that they brought in feels like a Flus hire.
Yeah.
Maybe Eric Washington only because
it's a good staff.
He coached with
Rob Marinelli
before.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I can see a connection there. Outside of that, there's no connection. So you're telling me Ryan Poles probably went through and hired all of your coaching staff. He gets the job done to put players around you to insulate you. He brings into me a really solid DB to add to it. Of course, all the pieces that were there. He adds you Montez Sweat. That second round pick is probably not going to be there by the end of the season for us this year. Yeah. So he's probably going to add another defensive piece. Like, and I'm giving you Keenan Allen. I'm giving you the number one overall pick. I'm giving you another wide receiver. I'm giving you everything for you to do well. Prove to me that you're supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's Ryan Poles' job, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my job. You go do yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that Ryan Poles, by and large, has done his job to this point. He's went about the business of filling all of the holes left on his roster. Some of those holes he created, tore that thing down to the studs. But he's done a pretty good job of filling most of their needs right now. And so there's still a couple more. But for the most part, he's got him what he needs. Go win. If you don't, that's on you, right? And I think everybody will see that. The organization, the league, the media, the fans, the city. Everybody be like, no, he got you everything, bro. You had 2 top 10 picks. Everything you just ran down.
Yeah.
You got it all. Go win.
Bears fans' expectation, I think most of us around the city is like, listen, get 9-10 wins. Yeah. We're having a real conversation about moving forward with Coach Flus. Do you think that that's the organization's threshold there? Does he have to go out there and prove, listen, you, we gave you one of the best teams in the NFC. You got to develop a young quarterback who a lot of people believe is probably a good chunk of the way there, and you got to not screw this up. Do you think that nine wins, 10 wins is enough for the Bears to come in confident with Flus next season?
I think whatever it takes to get to the playoffs. I think if they go to the playoffs, then bring them back. They don't, fire them. That's it. Like, it's playoffs or bust.
10 wins, but you could win 10 and not make the playoffs.
Okay, then you can go home too. Lovie Smith.
I love it.
Lovie Smith won 10 and got
yeah.
fired. You know what I mean?
But see, that's always different 10 though, right? Lovie Smith won the first 8, and then we lost six of our last eight.
And didn't make the playoffs.
If you do something like that, yes. Listen. But if it's like, you know, a 10-win season, you know, with ups and downs, but you navigate your way through it, it don't matter for you. If he don't make it, he's going to your mouth.
I think you got a playoff roster.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. Yeah. So we don't have to – they're not a Super Bowl contender. I think they're a year from that. But to get in the playoffs and have a good showing in a wild card game or divisional round, yeah, absolutely, that should be – the expectation, and if we don't meet it, we don't meet it. It's a results based business. You got to produce, and ain't no point in coddling it. We didn't build this whole thing up. We got this quarterback, right? Everybody's super excited about him and ready to put him in the Hall of Fame, and he's got a great work ethic. Yeah. He's super talented. You got everything around him. Now, can y'all coach this thing in a way that allows y'all to win games? The schedule is set up for you to have a fast start.
Absolutely.
The first, what is it? The first nine?
First nine games of the season, yeah.
They should be, before you
play a divisional opponent.
They should be 6-3. They could easily be 7-2, right? So if you're talking about starting that kind of fast, then you are going to have a repeat scenario of losing all those games in the back end
if you end
up at 10 games, yeah, right? You win six of the first nine, and you end up at 10, this back half went bad.
Right.
And that's all your division games. That's a couple good opponents. You got the Seahawks on the back end. Like, win, right? Get off to a fast start, and then at least, you know, 50-50 on the back end, and you should be at 10 easy.
I think that's what's tough about this schedule, too, that a lot of people – we could be legitimately 7-2, like you said, by week 9, and we could have lost to the Texans, and we could have lost to the 49ers this week 9, I think. We play one more good team in there.
They got the Colts.
I'm not worried about the Colts.
They got the Texans. They go to Indy. And then it's all
– Week 4 is the Rams. We'll say the Rams, if anything, right, sure. Out of the two teams. If you lose to Houston and you lose to the Rams.
Sure.
But you beat everybody else.
And you're at 7-2 after that Patriots game.
That 7-2 feels a little tough for me. Like, it feels great that we're 7-2, but it's like, all right, we're going into the division games. We lost to all the good teams that we go out there and get.
Now, can you stand on that record?
Yeah.
You're 7-2. You played two or three good teams. You lost a couple of those. But now your real schedule starts. Now the division's coming. Now San Fran's coming. The Seahawks. Like, what can you do with this part of your schedule? We've seen the first nine. What about these last eight? Can you go 5-3? Can you go 4-4? Now, if you end up going 2-6, 3-5 on the back half, then you're going to end up sliding that record down to now you 9 wins, maybe 10 wins, and probably not. Nah, man.
That's a problem. No, I agree with you. And here's the thing. It's not just you lost to divisional opponents. You lost to divisional opponents that you keep losing to, that you keep struggling against, that you keep being on the losing end. I mean, I guess outside of Detroit, we still haven't beat – Matt Eberflus hasn't beat the Packers yet.
No.
He's beat the Vikings once.
Yeah.
That's in 3 years. That's not a good record divisionally for you to sit there and beat your chest about it at the end of the day. We'll see, man. We'll see.
They outplayed Detroit twice last year.
Absolutely, right? And lost one of them.
And again,
lost one of them because your best two players defensively were not on the field, either because you were trying to prove a point, or because you forgot. Okay. Neither one is good.
That was a total team collapse. What was it? 12 points, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Nah. That everybody's fingerprint is on that.
I think
offense, defense, every player, you gotta try hard to lose a 12-point lead in 4 minutes, right?
I think that's the game that got Luke Getsy fired, and he just didn't know it yet.
Mm.
The Bears threw one pass in the second half. The pass to Tyler Scott that he dropped.
I thought
it's the only pass that they threw in the second half.
That was terrible. I thought the Minnesota game was a bit of a indictment.
Well, you didn't do anything. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I get what why
we won that 12-9.
Yeah, I get why you caught all those screens, right?
Yeah,
we understand the exotic blitzes that they like to bring. I get that. Flores, he's bringing them, right? So you want to get it out of his hands quick. try to catch him on the screens. That's cool. But he knows that too. And those corners was coming up, boom, dead and all that immediately. My problem is you don't have a counter to it, right? Yeah. If I'm gonna throw these screens, at some point I got a screen shot. Like, and there was never anything like that. It's like, bro, you came in here to throw 20 screens? Okay.
What do you expect on the flip side of that? Because, right, it was an indictment. Whichever game it was, right, one of them got everybody up out of here. I think both of those are great cases to say that one of those games got the entire offense pretty much up out of here. What do you expect to see different this season with Shane Waldron under help?
I don't know. What I'm hoping to see is a little bit more versatility. I wasn't as down on Getsy as a lot of people work throughout the season, but I want to see more flexibility. To me, the greatest sign of a coach is his ability to tailor the game plan week to week based on what your players do well and what the opponent doesn't do so well.
Yeah.
That's it. All this, I hate when coaches be like, oh, my system is this, my system. Man, your system needs to be about winning this week's game.
Yes.
That's it. So if we threw it 50 times last week, we can come back and run it 50 times this week, whatever the game plan calls for. How do we get a W this week? And a lot of coaches, they stubborn, right? There's this arrogance that comes along with being a coach at that level. And I get it, right? You
made
that.
It. You a coach at the highest level.
Yes. You absolutely.
You know something.
At some point in your mind, you think, I know the best way to win football games.
Yeah.
Cool. But you also need to have a little bit of flexibility, a little flex to you that says, okay, I don't have to stick to what I want to do. What can these dudes actually do?
Yeah.
Right. And then you figure out how to win the game that way. So that's what I'm hoping to see from Shane Waldron. I've heard, you know, mixed results. Some people love him, some people, you know, not so much. But as long as he has the ability to adapt his game plan to this week's opponent and tailor it around what his players do well, then I think he'll be fine. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of different ways to win a football game, man. And you figure it out. Each week.
I think that is, like, that's the one part about Getsy that annoyed me the most. And I guess, unfortunately speaking, right, it is the one thing that we've heard about Shane Waldron, that he's going to run his system. But his system probably works when you got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, right? When you got all of that, it make it a lot easier to say, yes, this is why my system works. But the thing about me, like you mentioned, with a lot of coaches, it's like they're stuck in this world of, like, well, this is the only way I know how to do it. Meanwhile, we consistently see the best coaches in the NFL go, oh, okay, y'all playing up. We're gonna throw it medium today. We're gonna take a deep shot over the top of your head because you're playing up. Like the counters, like Bill Belichick always talks about, okay, what do we counter on it? Tom Brady was on Colin Cowherd, who we was talking about earlier. He was on Colin Cowherd.
The great Colin
Cowherd. The great Colin Cowherd. My opinions are out there. It don't matter. I can't take them back. I've said them so often. But no, he talked about, right, like, okay, what's the one thing that I can do on this play that'll make this play go wrong? Mm-hmm. I think we haven't had that in this town. Mm-hmm. We haven't had an offensive coordinator or a head coach in a long time that's like, what's going to make this play go wrong? How do we fix this? That's the one thing I'm hoping for from Shane Waldron, where, yeah, you're in a perfect situation, but guess what? Like, this is a game of football. People go down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you lose Keenan Allen? Not saying you want to, but that's the result of this game. And I think the same thing with Flus, right? I look on the other side and I'm like, all right, I like where this team is at defensively. As long as Montez Sweat can play 17 games.
You got to get a lot of games from a lot of guys, key pieces, right? Montez needs to play 17 games.
Like, we're in trouble if he don't.
That's period, right? But Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins, they need to play 15 games, right? If you can get 30 starts out of those dudes, I think this offensive line will settle down and be just fine. It's a huge question. You're talking about getting 30 starts out of those two dudes.
Yeah.
I'll give them two games. I ain't going to act crazy and think they, you know what I mean? Because just
17 games is a lot of games.
Both of it and just their track record, you know what I mean? Tell me they're going to miss a couple. But if they can miss a couple, cool. Preferably not the same two games. But they miss a couple, cool. But they start missing 4, 5, 6. Now you're in trouble, man. And you got a rookie quarterback that's still learning his way. This, you know, coming in and lighting the league up like CJ did last year is, that's uncommon.
Yeah.
I can tell you think he's finna do it. I can see it in your face.
Well, here's the thing. We have seen players do it. You know what I mean? CJ did it last year. CJ did it. We saw Burrow be able to do it. We saw Pat Mahomes be able to do it. And I think what makes it different about Caleb this year is why people are like, well, those are special situations. No, those are situations that are built how the Bears have built this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do think he can come in and light the league up and set the league on fire. But I do think that a lot of it goes to, right, like you had to make the changes that you made. Luke Getsy called 4 screen passes in a row against a championship-level defense. I can't see – if Shane Waldron does that, we got troubles. We got problems. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to – football is so different from basketball in the sense that, like, you have to have a good coaching staff because they can absolutely ruin good players. Yeah. We saw it with Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett.
Sure.
I don't think Russ is as bad as any of us saw that season.
Oh, we've seen Russ play high-level football before.
You know what I mean? We've seen him play high-level football since.
Right, since.
You
right.
know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. So it's like – I've seen coaches destroy players and put players in bad positions. So that is like we started all this talking about flus, talking about the coaching staff. Yes, I think the players need to play, but I really am. My biggest concern is still around: is this the right coaching staff for the team that we have?
Yeah, I think those are the biggest questions, right? What offense? This defense is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right now, excuse me. They got a couple questions, and you got to see the development from Javon and Zach, right?
For sure.
But that defense is going to be fine. They'll probably end up bringing in Yannick again to add to the edge on the other side of Montez, but
which could be deadly.
Yeah, man.
That could be deadly.
Completely bro. Different situation from when we brought in Yannick 12 with months D-Walk. Ago, right? You just brought him in. He like, oh, you're supposed to be the dude. You ain't the dude, bro.
Nah.
We don't need you to be the dude. Nobody's asking you to be the dude. Go play across from the dude and take advantage of these one-on-ones.
Be the other dude.
Right. The other dude.
Put that on the shirt.
Yeah,
we need dude. That. Are you the dude? Nah, I'm the other dude.
That'd be cool. So, yeah, I ain't worried about the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, that thing has to come together. I know we got all these pieces, but it takes time. It takes to develop that chemistry, right?
Yeah.
And not just Caleb being a rookie and all of that. But, like, even, like, Keenan and DJ learning how to run routes off of each other. I know what it looked like on paper, but then we running on the field in the last game, getting that chemistry to say, okay, I break off you break. You know what I mean? Like, that that takes just some time to kind of get those things together. Where Cole going to sit down in these zones, that kind of stuff, right? It just takes some time. And so we'll see, you know, what Shane Waldron is able to do with those things over the course of time. But they got all the players. They got all the pieces, man. And good players make coaches look smart all the time. So that's just –
That is true. Yeah. We have seen that. We'd be like,
ain't no coach ever won nothing with bad players, right? Period. I don't care.
Matt Nagy won the Super Bowl calling plays. Well, air quotes that. But he won a Super Bowl calling plays.
Nobody's ever done it with bad players. Is what I'm saying.
Well, but that's what I mean though. Like we watched him here and we were like, oh, this dude can't call plays.
I can be like, hey.
He came in as an offensive guru. He's got no offense.
You can give me a headset and I can be like, yo, Pat. Throw it to Travis. Look at Herb calling those plays.
Look at Herb on the sideline.
Look at him go.
Hey, and really, you ordering a Coke in the headset. Yeah. Andy Reid's calling the play. You like, can I get a large fry with that real quick?
That
touchdown. There we go. I like that.
Hold the sheet. Another one. Got it. Yeah. No, you know, smart. Good players make coaches look good all the time.
Would you make any additions to this team? Offense, defense? Is there still somebody out there? You said unique on the one side, but would you make any on the offensive line? Any other? Please, no more running backs. But anybody else on the team that you would look to bring in who's still out there right now?
Nah, man. I think they've got a pretty complete team, right? This offense has to settle. This offensive line has to settle in to whatever it's going to be. Who's going to be where? Nate Davis come in and actually play right guard. Tevin Jenkins get you enough starts at left guard. Figure out what you're going to do at center. Is it going to be Bates? Is it like figure that thing out and then let those guys settle into it. And then you should have some natural depth that you create based on whoever wins, right? You get Sheldon or you get Bates, and then you got interior depth there. I still like Jatari Carter as some interior depth as well. So. I mean, I think they're fine there, right? The reason I say they're not Super Bowl contenders is I think there's a next step to get to that elite level, right? And so maybe
– Well, get to the playoffs first and like, get that. Some experience, you
there's
know
that.
What I mean?
There's that. But, no, I think they can get to just another level when you find out, is Jervon Dexter a difference-making, game-wrecking three-tech? This defense requires one. And I don't know if you have one. I think so. I mean, he came on strong towards the end of last year. He's a massive, massive dude. Like
he looks like he got his body right this offseason too.
Yeah, he seems to be in shape. You know, he's got to be able to. Last year he was a rotational player.
Yeah.
This year they expecting three downs out of you. You know what I mean? So like, can you do that? Billings gonna come off on third down. kick DeMarcus inside, but you need to stay and get some pass rush. So is he that dude? If he's that dude, then that answers a huge question for you. They invested a lot in that position last year, a second round pick and a third round pick.
Yeah.
So we went to this offseason, everybody like, we got to invest in that position. And Paul's like, bruh.
I just did.
Them two dudes need the ball. We got this D-line specialist as a DC.
Yeah.
Coach Washington is phenomenal at that. He's got to develop those dudes. And if he can do that, that answers a huge question for you on that side of the ball. I don't think this team has many needs, man. I don't think there's many roster spots left for this team. When going to camp, we can probably
89% of the team is locked up.
For real?
Yeah.
89? That's a heck of a number, sir. Not 90.
Not 90. 89.
89%.
Because 90 make you feel like, we already there. Like, well, the last 10%, that make you feel like you're filling out like special teams.
Yeah.
I got some kick returners that we might bring in here.
You
think that's what it is?
I think that's all that's left. I asked Coach Hightower, the special teams coordinator, I asked him, like, is this a situation where you're able to jump right into the competition for special teams sooner than you would in a season where maybe I don't know who the starting corners are.
Yeah.
I don't know who's starting that receiver. I don't know who's starting here or there. And so now I kind of got to wait and see, okay, well, no, he's starting now. So now I can figure out who's going to be the gunner on this side, who's going to be whatever. But now you know, bro. You know who's starting. You know the starting defense almost. You know it all. In fact,
you
know, DeMarcus is going to start on one end. We'll see if they bring in Yannick, whatever. But even if they do, I think he's going to be a pass rush specialist
because DeMarcus
played a run.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean? So you're going to put DeMarcus on one side, Montez on the other side. You got Billings. You got Dexter. You got your two linebackers, right? You got Tremaine. You got TJ. You got Jalen. You got Tyreek. You got KG in the slot. Jaquan and KB back there.
And KB, yeah.
Your defense is set.
Defense is set for sure.
Even
offense is for the most part.
Even the backups, right?
Yeah.
Like Josh Blackwell gonna play in the slot. If Kyler gotta come out, you still got Smitty that they drafted last year to play corner. You got Jalen Jones who's been on this team for 3 years now. Like all of that is kind of set. These spots are taken, bro. Like I know who all the DB is gonna be. We know who the receiver's gonna be. We know who the running back's gonna be. It's not a lot of spots up for grabs coming into this camp. It's gonna be really, really hard for guys to make this team. Is going to be a lot of times you hear coaches be like, oh man, we're going to have a lot of competition in this camp. And what they really mean is we don't have no studs.
We have no players.
We don't have no studs
on
right?
the team. You know at
what
all, mean?
They said that, what was it, 2 years ago they came to camp and it was like, yo, it's like 14 receivers. Like, I don't even know who the number two receiver is. You know what I mean? So like, oh, we got a lot of competition. No, you don't have any studs.
Yeah. Equanimeous was the one. That was the bad part. That was the bad start for that season.
And now you do. You got studs. You got top-end talent, elite top-end talent at several positions, at corner, at DN, at receiver. Like, you got elite-level talent at some critical spots. And so now you're talking about the last
I guess, yeah, you really are just talking about a lot of special teams. There's
not a lot of spots left, bro.
Rob, you better do something.
Your backup linebackers, I said. Noah Sewell, Jack. Like, you ain't making this team.
You only got that's the tough part. Like, I guess that's my thing. When is the depth gonna be solidified? Right. I think your backup linebackers. Yes, Noah Sewell's gonna be out there, but you probably gotta add more. Right. Like, I think you gotta keep more because Noah Sewell hasn't been healthy. Jack Sanborn's been fine, so there's just three. But outside of Noah Sewell, who we got?
Who played? I'm drawing a blank.
I know exactly who you're talking about. But exactly. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying, bro. We're talking about who's going to be the fifth linebacker.
That's true. We're in a very different position. We're in a very different position.
2 years ago, we were talking about who's going to be the number two receiver.
I got the whole, I'm not mistaken.
It's a different situation, bro. We're talking about who's going to be the backup nickel. Like, that's what I'm saying. They're in a completely different situation than they have been in a very, very long time because they have top-end talent right now. So the competition is just for the last couple spots on the roster, 6-7 guys maybe that like, oh, I ain't know you was going to make the team. But for the most part, when they show up at camp, they're going to be able to write in the 53.
If there was one name I would take a serious look at for the Bears and because you can get them on the cheap, I think, Connor Williams, just because – to me, the situation in Miami sucks how it ended. He was balling before that, though.
Sure.
He was absolutely balling. And if you can get him
– I heard he's going to be ready to go by the start of the season. But the problem with that start of the season thing is this is a new offense with a lot of new faces in key positions. They need all this time to ramp up to get this thing together. This idea of, he's going to be ready for week one, then we're going to put him in front of a rookie quarterback and let him figure it out in the season.
That's true.
I know the start of the schedule is a little light, so that maybe they can, work some things out while still winning. But that's a tall task to be like, yo, just week one, we're going to change the center.
I think he could be a very tall task, but I think the problem is for me right now, you're sitting at a spot where I believe most of us think they say it's going to be a competition. You want Ryan Bace to be the starting center. He's 26 years old. Sure. You would rather have him be the starting center because there's more of a future with him. Coleman Shelton is the backup, 31 years old. I don't know. What is he? He's 29, 30, yeah. Something like that. So it's like, all right, well, that'll work out, but why did they let you go? I would rather have somebody to solidify there because I think the names they you mentioned,
play that much.
Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis, the questions. They're not answers. You have one answer on your offensive line is the dude that played an entire season on the right side with a half an arm.
Yeah.
Like that's not a good place to head into the season. When I know they feel like there's answers, I do think that they've addressed a lot of stuff. But Ryan Bates is a right guard.
Right.
He's not a center. You're hoping to the
you are projecting. Hey,
bring the reverend back, right? Right. You're praying that you can get a center out of him.
That's hilarious.
Like I just and if we're being honest, that works maybe for one team a year where they just like, yeah, swap your team over. You're hoping that it's you. And I know that this has been the hope for a few years with the Bears, but 150 snaps in his career. He didn't play center in college. He didn't play. He played a little bit of center in high school.
It's a huge projection.
That's a huge if.
Now,
for a rookie quarterback being in front.
Now, Ryan and Ian know what they're looking at O-line, right? They both former O-linemen.
Yeah.
He's liked Ryan Bates for a while. He tried to get him before.
Tried to get him before.
Right? So whatever it is they like about him.
Yeah.
The dude is well put together. You see him out there at practice. He cut his football pants.
Yeah, he's going a little.
His legs
is
nuts. Like, so he's a put together dude. Seems to be relatively athletic.
When he plays, he's fairly healthy.
Yeah.
When he's out there, right? Buffalo used him 2 years ago, and yeah, he was one of their healthiest linemen. So,
but all of that is projection. You don't know that you have a good NFL center on your roster right now. You don't know that.
Yeah.
And that's a problem to put in front of any rookie quarterback. I don't care if he's the next Patrick Mahomes. That is a problem to do. And so they got to figure that thing out, which is why I'm saying, like, they need every day between now and week one to figure that thing out. Bringing in somebody week one is a little scary to me, especially coming off the injury. I know he's a baller when he's healthy, but when is that going to be, and what does that mean for me this season? If I'm Flus, he can say what he want. He know what I know.
Yeah.
You don't win, you up out of here. Yeah. Like, I don't have time to be giving away games. Like, I got to figure this thing out, and they're going to need every rep they can get to figure that out.
I do wonder if there will come a moment in the Nate Davis scenario, right? I understand last year. I always say I don't really take last year into account, but let's look at the years before that. Mm-hmm. Right? Last year, special circumstances. But he didn't practice in Tennessee. That's why they got rid of him.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of games. That's why they got rid of him.
What you told me the coach said after they got rid of him?
Oh, we want players to practice. That's what Mike Vrabel said. It's like, why would you get rid of a player like Nate Davis that you felt, you know, could be a solid piece for you at that position? We want players that practice. That's nuts.
And since Ryan he's Paul's been here, found out, buddy don't practice.
Listen, I'm just saying. So, like, I think because of that, I do wonder if we see at some point this season Matt Eberflus in the scenario you laid out, right, where this is a hot seat year. If Matt Eberflus is like, you're not practicing, you're not on the field.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that when you invested $10 million into a player.
Yeah, man. And, like, it's – you got to figure it out, bro.
Yeah.
Like, life be lifing. There's no way to minimize somebody losing a parent, right? Yeah. At some point, can we compartmentalize a little bit and work this thing out?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, man. We like he's talented, right?
He can play for sure.
You want to see him out there. You want to see him going hard. You want to see him develop the chemistry with Darnell Wright, right? You a vet playing next to this talented rookie. You should be developing that chemistry with him, helping him get along. Y'all should be passing off stunts and double teams like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you're coming into a year where right tackle. You basically have minimal rapport with your right tackle who was here last year because you didn't practice or play with him a ton.
Played all the games.
And you have no rapport with your starting center.
Yeah, you don't even know him.
And the number one thing that they're talking about is cadence. You have to know what Caleb is. So you have no rapport with your quarterback either because you ain't been out there to work with the cadence.
And y'all, you need a solid interior, man. Quarterback need a solid interior.
Yeah.
But especially a rookie quarterback. Y'all have to help him make these checks. Y'all have to help him identify these pressures and, like, all of these things. And so they need time on task, and they need it immediately. Like, whatever you think the five is going to be, get him out there day one and let him go. Now, if you start to find out, okay, Bates ain't better than Shelton, then switch it and then let him go. That back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, that's not going to help Caleb with the cadence. That ain't going to help nobody do nothing. So, like, whatever it's going to be, get him out there and let him get settled into their jobs.
We'll see, man. We'll see what it ends up being. I appreciate you coming through, my guy, before we let you go.
That was fast, man. We done?
Yeah. Hey, what you want? What you want? Hour and a half?
I'm joking.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let's start breaking down some lists now. All right. PFF ranks us 27th overall, but loves every player on the team. PFF got to get that together, bro. Every player on the Bears team is the greatest player in the league, according to PFF. But they project the Bears to win 7.5 games. I'm like, wait a minute, though. How you do that?
I just need that defensive line to come together and be able to create some consistent pressure, because I think that back seven could be special. Like, they could be the best back seven in the league. But I don't care how good you are on that back seven, if the front four not creating consistent pressure, you're going to find some holes in that defense. So
Javon's the key.
He's the key.
He's
like the most important person on the team. Bro, not like, named Caleb Williams.
No, 100%. Like, if he doesn't hit this season, because to me, Javon Dexter makes DeMarcus Walker better. Yes. You can have a DeMarcus Walker and save the money if Javon Dexter creates pressure up the middle. Yeah. If he forces the quarterback, okay, there's pressure in my lap, I got to pick a direction. You're going to run into somebody.
Yeah.
And DeMarcus Walker can catch players. That'll give him that, right? Yeah. But like,
he can catch players.
Bro, we had a problem with tackling last year. You should see the amount of Lance Briggs highlights we got from last year, where it's like, hey, bro, he right there, just grab him.
Briggs is one of the best tacklers of his generation, though. You know what I mean?
Bro, like, but you got to –
it's a high standard, bro.
But you got to think about it too, right? What was it? I think it was the Detroit game when we ended up losing. The reason they pulled Tremaine.
Bro, Tremaine was right there, bro.
Grabbed Buddy. And then fails 5 yards the wrong direction, and he got a first down to keep the try going. And Briggs was the next day, he was just like, linebackers don't tackle no more. I was like, oh, I guess not, dog. I don't know.
It's bad. It's some bad tape out there, man. it's some bad tape out there. TJ made most of his, but it's some bad tape.
It took TJ a little while to get himself going. Yeah. Jack Sanborn, the best tackler on the team. TJ might be now.
Yeah.
TJ finished the season, but starting off the year,
Jack show up and tackle, man.
Jack, that's all he do.
I like Jack, man. He's just a football player, man. Bro, nothing different. Flashy about him. Like, I don't even know why you good, but you are good, bro. Like,
I guarantee you, right? If Jack Sanborn's probably being healthy, right? He's a 10-plus year dude in the league.
Oh, for sure.
He's gonna be one of those dudes that when there's an NFL films like the 100 players that were least talked about and stuff like that. But it's going to be like, nobody hit me harder than Jack Sanborn. nobody was there quicker than Jack Sanborn. You have all these mic'd up moments we ain't never seen of him just lighting mugs. I'll be like, what was this?
He showed up with bad intentions. He got good instincts, man. So people talk about like 40 time and all that. Like, if I got good instincts, if I can read and diagnose, I'm faster than you.
Yeah.
That's it. We ain't running track, bro.
No.
If I know what's about to happen, then that shaves a couple tenths off my 40.
Who did he smack last year?
Few
somebody said so, no was it Bijan? There was one game where he was in the backfield faster than I really expected him to be, and he lit a running back up last year. I was just like,
I like him a lot, and he looked like Drago. From
he got a little Drago, strong face, it's like strong
crazy neck.
Yeah, like, solid neck, strong face.
Sanborn looked like Drago.
Got a little Drago to him. Yeah, there's some interesting characters on this Bears team. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. Like, as when you start to see him like moving around and walking around, it's just like that, like the Torrey Taylor, the punt guy.
Yeah.
He like walked in front of, it was when they had the Bears, like the alumni barbecue and all of that. I'm over there sitting with a bunch of Bears players. I'm just looking up, and they all looking up with me. And I'm like, y'all were also in the NFL. Right. He should not be this big, bro. Henry Melton was by me. Henry was like, this dude is the punter. Like, I was like, so I don't know, man. It's going to be – this season's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think it's going to be a lot to anticipate. What is your expectation on the season? Not your prediction and all that, but what's your expectation? One thing that you leave this season you feel you're going to know the answer to?
I think the only answer we need to know is Caleb who we think he is, right? And if he is, then this team will be very good. They will compete. They will make the playoffs. That is what I expect of them. It's not like on some like, oh, y'all better win games. I think they're that good. I think they're good enough to win games. I think that defense will keep them in every single game they play. They got a lot of weapons on offense. The quarterback is who we think he is. And the coaches don't put him in bad positions. Like, don't start this year off telling me that he needs to win the game for us. I had that conversation. It might have been with Carm. Like, he don't need to be the best player on this team right now. He doesn't need to be, right?
No.
He needs to be a distributor, get the ball out of his hands, put him in advantageous situations, keep him ahead of the chains.
He needs to be the most efficient player on this team.
Sure. He needs to Brock Purdy this thing right on
yes.
up.
Yes, yes.
It's fine. I know his ceiling is much higher than Brock Purdy. And at some point, we expect him to be a league MVP. Cool. That doesn't need to be right now. Now, if we get to midway through the season and it's just easier for him than he thought it would be or than I thought it would be, then great. Take the training wheels off. Let the man go crazy. But use that light schedule to start and let him just wrap up to that. And then by the time those division games come around, it's cold here. And like, if he's ready, then cool. And if he is, this could be a really, really good team, and they should be a playoff team and a tough out. Not a Super Bowl contender, but they should be a playoff team and a tough out.
My hot take on the season is if Caleb Williams is competent and Jervon Dexter is what they said he could be.
Two biggest questions on the
Chicago Bears will be a NFC North or NFC championship level team. Those are the two positions that, and more so Jervon, because if Jervon is who he's supposed to be,
if he's a dog,
oh my god,
bro,
this
defense is gonna be,
bro. Their 20 thing, 30 of them will be interceptions.
No, for
like real. it'll be 20-20. Be like, well, we still got the 40. It'll be like, no, but you got it because of 30 picks.
That's a nightmare, dude. That dude coming up the middle on a quarterback is a nightmare.
His brain flipped last year to finally get off of a two-gap system to more of a penetrating style. And I want to say it was that first Vikings game where I was like,
he's getting off the ball.
He's reacting. He's getting off the ball. Like, it was a half a season. It was more than a half a season where I was like, it's got to click eventually, but he is slow right now.
I spent all training camp charting his get off. Like,
you had to stop watching. Nope.
No, not even time. Just watching him. Like that's nope. That's
hey, my favorite person to stand next to at training camp and stuff like is her, because we just sit there. We just be like, because they don't stop. They never stop playing. The offense finishes the play. You throw a touchdown, and me and him just be sitting there going sack. Yeah.
That's not real. Sack,
right?
Like, that's not real. And then somebody will like tweet out like, oh, he went 14-15 in the like.
You know who's sending the tweet.
Please put that six of them were checkdowns to the running back. Yeah. Please put that three of them would have been sacks. Please pick that the safety would have killed dude if it wasn't his team. Like, come on, man. Like, let's put things in proper context, man. Stop lying to these people.
Hey, there's a lot of you got to get the engagement up on Twitter. As soon as Twitter started paying people, all of a sudden every quarterback was going 16-18. It was like, well, how'd that work? Well, the receiver almost got it, but they blew it dead before it got to his hands.
It's you know, I guess we all got to keep ourselves entertained. It's a long summer.
Let's hope that when training camp get here, we have an easy summer to talk about. And we're not making up the 15-16. It's like 15-16 to Keenan and Rome and DJ.
Should be fun, man. I'm looking forward to the offense catching up to the defense, really.
At some point in the summer. Yeah.
Some point in the summer, that'll be that kind of litmus test to be like, oh, they coming along. When the defense stops dominating them, like on a day-to-day basis, that'll be a good sign. Like, oh, it's coming together now. They're starting to win some periods. They're starting to win some days.
When the defense start to get quiet.
I don't know about that.
Because it was, right, when the offense would be going, the defense would switch and lock in. They'd be doing all that yapping. Yeah. Ah, we out here. And then Caleb would throw four or five in a row that'll hit somebody in the hands. They'd be like, hey, hold on. We were talking a second.
They hate giving up completions and yards, man. They be out there.
Bro, they be complaining about every call.
I hate Jaquan Little Bird arm.
What is it?
I told him too. I was like, bro, you can do something better than that. But now it's caught on with all his teammates, so now it's never gonna go anywhere. As long as they hear, they're gonna do that now. It's like, ugh, I hate. He's like, you don't like it? I'm like, no, bro. Like, you do something better than that.
Are you a bear claw guy? You rocking with the bear claw?
Sure. You know, when I coached high school football, I had a package I called Bear. I had a couple athletic linemen. I would just put them in the backfield. and give him the ball and let him run, right? Yeah. And I called that package bear. So I would always signal that. I'm like, hey, and that was the signal for it. So it's funny, but
was that a bear claw? Never mind. We're not gonna say that on this podcast. That was
knock it off.
That was concerning. That was different.
Knock it off.
Shout out, my boy. appreciate you coming through as always, my guy.
Pleasure.
Appreciate the love. Let the folks know where they can find you, all the socials and all of that, and let them know what you got coming up, man.
Indeed, man. You can follow me on Twitter at HerbHoward411. You can follow my work for the Bigs at It's the Bigs on Twitter and the Bigs.us online.
Always stay tuned in, because after every game, there's like this fresh walk through the locker room as he's recording. It's like you pointing at people. Yeah. Like, what's good, my boy? So, like I was saying, you know, the Bears always it's like a fresh walk after every game. Hey, you got to stay tapped in with it.
I come downstairs and get through the tunnel, I just do a video, right? It's like my immediate reaction without thinking about it, without like the pads. I like to catch my immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Even before I go talk to the players and hear from the coaches, like, what was my immediate reaction? I like to put that out. So catch me walking through the tunnel.
Catch me walking through the tunnel, man. Stay tapped in with Herb, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in and showing love with us here at the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Herb, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.